You had the willingness. You wanted to change.
I wanted to change. And I and then another good thing is I didn't go back into my, like, the first time I wanted to change, but I put myself right smack dead in the middle of what was comfortable to me, my friends, my neighborhood, my surroundings. And in order to change, you got to change just about all things. So this time I came to Washington, D.C. And, you know, I had no reputation to uphold. I had no stereotypes. I even, like, started going by, like, my middle name just to come into a new me. So my email address used to be the new Devon Smith. And when I applied for my job, that's the email I use. And, like, yeah, so it just took a whole mindset change, a surroundings change, and the circle change, like, completely. Yeah. And it worked out for me for the best.
Welcome to the Friends in Beauty podcast, a safe space for ambitious beauty industry creatives to have real talk, get authentic answers, and practical tools to grow their businesses. Join me every week as me and my special guest reveal the keys to longevity and success in the beauty industry, from the ups and downs of their journey to the nitty-gritty of their struggles and triumphs. We're spilling the tea on it all, and most importantly, having fun while doing it. You ready? Hey, what's up? It's your best friend in beauty, Aquia Robinson. Welcome back to another episode of the Friends in Beauty podcast. I am so happy to have you here, and I hope you're listening to this episode in high spirits and in good health. Now, on today's episode of the Friends in Beauty podcast, I welcome Damashay Smith to the Friends in Beauty guest chair. So Damashay is a traveling barber, the founder of Cape Town DMV, the DMV's top network of hair and beauty professionals. So welcome to the Friends of Beauty podcast, Damashay.
Oh, thank you, Aquia. I feel welcome. I appreciate it. I have to say, this is my first time officially being on a podcast.
Yay.
So, this is a big thing for me. And I appreciate the space to be able to talk about what I love, what I do, and how I became who I am. So.
And I'm excited to have the conversation with you. And I'm so excited that I get to be the first person to interview you for a podcast. I've had a lot of people like that recently where it's like their first experience. So hopefully, you know, you have a good experience here and this opens up, you know, more doors for you to share your story more.
Yes. I agree.
Yeah. So before we get started, we can start off with some icebreakers to get us warmed up. And so the Friends in Beauty audience can get to know you a little bit outside of what you do. So first one, just give us three random facts about you.
Ooh. First and foremost, I am a big dad. First of, like, the biggest father, you know, I'm proud of it. You know, the greatest father that my whole family has ever seen, to my grandfathers and to my uncles. And second fact about that is, I didn't meet my father for the first time until 2 years ago.
Wow.
And then a third fact is, I don't know. a third fact is, it's not time for that yet. So,
like, what's your favorite color?
Red and orange.
Red or orange. We keep it safe.
Keep it safe.
Red or orange. I love the fact that you're like, you started off with, okay, I'm a big dad, but you also didn't meet your dad until 2 years ago. Because I feel like a lot of people, not that they use it as an excuse, but a lot of people will use that as a crutch as to why they can't show up for their kids in a certain way because they didn't have that example. While others, you know, take that and be like, I'm going to be a better example because I didn't have mine's present. So I love that.
Yeah. And like a little, like, background of that is the relationship I had with my son kind of, so I don't know how much time do we have before?
I was like, I'm gonna let him talk today.
All right. So the background behind it is that I didn't know my father. I didn't have a name. Like, my mom didn't know his name. So up until I was about 32, I'm 34 now, I never even thought that I'd be able to meet my father. I just thought like it would never be possible because I didn't have and then honestly, like, and ain't no punk, I'm just saying, but like at nights I'd be crying, like me and my son to connect with Bond, he'd go back with his mom. I might be taking a shower, I might, you know, just my body, like the child in me was just crying. So I was just like, you know, I gotta try and find this guy. So took a shot in the dark and I did ancestral DNA. It took me about a year. I met him. Took about 6 to 8 months to get the testing together. We took the test and
Wow, so you did ancestry.com or just like a ancestry DNA?
Ancestral DNA. I paid like $100. They sent me the test kit. I gave them my swab and I started getting connections and, you know, just researching Facebook and calling people and
That's a fantastic way to find your family. But my sister has done that, and we found like aunts and like from my mom's like my grandfather, my mom's father, he has other children, so we found like aunts and like family records even from like my grandmother's side. Like ancestry is like the truth. That's dope.
For
That's
sure, for
dope.
sure.
Okay. Yes, thanks for sharing that. That's amazing. What is something that you are kind of like snobby about? I wonder if men could be snobs. Like, do you have anything that you're kind of like?
But before you go, you're gonna have to tell me what snobby mean, because as a man, I don't know what that mean. No,
Like,
but
some
like,
people are very particular. What's something that you're very particular about it? Oh, it has to be like this.
whew. Haircuts, I mean, but folding my clothes,
Folding your clothes.
like if somebody fold my clothes, like I will go back in before I put it up and refold them.
Okay.
Oh no, I don't know,
That
that's
could be, that's very particular.
not particular. Let's
Because I
see,
have
I
some
don't
people, I
know,
fold their
man.
clothes for them, and they're like, it doesn't matter, just as long as it's folded. Like, I don't care. And they'll just put it away.
I'd rather just be like, hey, I fold these this way because of that, and I hang these up because of that. No, that's
All
it.
right.
But I'm not like a, I'm not, I don't have like OCD or anything. I just, that's one of those things.
All right, we gonna let you rock with that one. So I have these random set of cards called pod decks that have random questions in it. This is a what the
Oh.
heck and a would you rather. Which one do you want?
Any, mini, mighty, mo, catch a tiger by his toe. If you holler, let him go. Any, mini, mighty, mo. The red deck.
The red one. All right. Let's see. The red deck is would you rather? I had that one before. No, that was weird. And a lot of these I've had before.
Are you looking for questions?
I'm looking at them, but I want to ask you something that I've asked somebody before.
You know how to shuffle the bridge?
Oh my gosh, this is weird. Okay. It says, would you rather? I never had this one ever. Would you rather see one of your parents having an affair or see your spouse having an affair? Oh my God.
My parents, like, I mean that one is gonna be like ill, and the other one is gonna be like, what the, it's gonna
Rage.
be all of those things. Yeah, it's gonna be too much. That can mess with you for the rest of your life.
Yeah, I'd rather see my one of my parents having an affair. I don't know.
They not together anyway, so
Right. Do y'all thing, period.
y'all think
What do
that's how I got here.
Yeah, true. What do people always tell you that you're good at aside from what you do professionally?
It would most things, like naturally, I'm naturally good at first tries. But maybe looking at things on a brighter side. I mean, people like my mindset towards negativity. You know, I handle that very well, I guess.
Okay.
That could be something.
That's a good quality. That's an excellent quality. A lot of people are like pessimistic. So they look at things like the opposite way. Everything is like negative. They can't see the brighter side of nothing. I can't stand. I can't deal with those type of people. You can't
But
even
see,
get
it's
through with
like
them.
it's a gift and a curse, though, at the same time, because it's like I look at so things that are good, I'm always preparing for the worst. And things that are bad, I'm always expecting or looking at the good. So it's good and it's good as bad. It's good and it's bad.
I feel you. I feel you. So, when is the last time that you did something for the first time?
Give me an example.
You have any new experiences, something that you've never done before? Like recently?
Last time I did something for the first time. Dang.
What you did today
I
is
have,
for
but
the first time.
what, the state board? Taking the state board was for the first time, but I feel like I don't know. Can I ask you first?
I mean, when is the last time that I did something for the first time? Look, now I gotta think about it. No, you can't ask me because I don't even know. When is the last time I did something for the first time? It's been a while. Like, I would say the first experience that comes to mind is when I went to Senegal. I know I've done other things, but the first thing that comes to mind is when I went to Senegal, I rode a camel.
Okay. Well, maybe. So, the last time I did something for the first time was I recently went to DR, and instead of being and standing around in a touristy part, I actually, like, random guy. Like, most people wouldn't trust this guy. He don't look trustworthy. I'll just say that. he didn't look trustworthy. He took me like to look at the town. Like, I mean, I rented a four-wheeler for like 4 days straight. So we went like the travel was like 30 minutes if we was just going straight, but it took us like an hour to get there, and we was just like all around. We seen blue waters. He took me to his town, his
Wow.
home. He introduced me to his family, to little corner stores, and like it was a real like experience of the culture opposed to like just doing the touristy stuff,
Yeah.
So that was the first time for me, and it felt good. So
That's cool. Did you go by yourself?
I did.
Wow, you brave. You went to travel. You traveled by yourself, and then you linked up with strangers. You ain't listen to nothing your parents told you when you was younger.
Well, they
Talk to
say do what you
strangers.
do carefully. Listen, the f worst I seen happening it was they take the four-wheeler because they weren't gonna catch me, and so I'm gonna just hide out, man. Kept my phone locked up in case I had to run. It won't fall out. Long as I got that, I know how to get back. I can survive.
Okay. All right. I hear you. I mean,
Ain't
like as
no
men and
punk.
women, we can't. I mean, women do it, but it's not as safe for us.
Yeah, and I think y'all do it more than men. We're so like women. No, I'm not being biased here, but women are more like careless, not careless in the sense of like y'all don't care about anything, but like free. I say free flowing beings. Like y'all would try out something, whereas men, our whole dynamic is to assess the dangers and assess the problems. What could you handle if something happened? You know what I mean? A woman is like, ain't nothing gonna happen. I'm putting good energy into the world, and God ain't gonna let that happen to me.
I feel you. I
So.
ain't that. I'm not that woman though. I gotta be safe, but that's cool that you had that experience though. So the last one for the icebreakers, if you weren't a barber, if you weren't the founder of Cape Town DMV, what else could you see yourself doing?
Well, full time right now, I work for Department of Parks and Recreation. So definitely working with the youth, the underserved and the at-risk youth, like, which I still do that now. So But if it was none of the things that I'm doing now, it'll probably be a carpenter or an auto mechanic. That's just not, I'm naturally good with my hands and doing things and taking things apart. So, yeah.
Okay. I love that. I love that. Well, I'm so excited to have you here because we recently, you know, reconnected at, you know, Art All Night DC. I was just telling somebody this story yesterday. I was like, I was talking to him for a good like 10 minutes before I asked what his name was. And then I was like, I know you. Like,
yeah, it's only one name.
I know you. You used to come in my class. So y'all, Damashay used to come into my classroom all the time when I was teaching at Bennett. You were a barber student at the time, but I was teaching there. And should we tell them how we met? I don't know.
That's fine. That's fine.
So he used to date one of my friends.
Yes. Yes.
Back in the day. So that's how I met him. And then he ended up being a barber student at Bennett. I was teaching at Bennett all the time. I used to see you all the time, but you look so different. I told you look so different now. The beard, the locks. You just transformed your whole look.
Yes, I'm just being authentically me. And it's No Shave November, so I haven't done anything but trim the hair off my lips. So,
wow. Okay. People still doing that, huh?
Well, it's only right that I do it as a barber and try to urge my clients not to, though. Like, because I try to still make some money here, so.
Okay. Hey, what's up? I know you're enjoying the episode, but I have to put you on to Friends in Beauty's newest community, the Trailblazers Club. The Trailblazers Club is a place where success not only leaves clues, but becomes a tangible reality for beauty pros just like you. See, a lot of my friends in beauty are so talented and so skilled at what they do, but they lack the essential business skills that are needed to grow and sustain their businesses, or they lack the support that is needed to stay consistent to execute their goals. And that's exactly why I wanted to create the Trailblazers Club, to be able to support you on your journey. Exclusively inside of the Trailblazers Club, you will unlock expert-led masterclasses and breakout sessions every single month, monthly Q&A and mentorship with me, your best friend in beauty, an exclusive and extensive network of beauty pros, support and accountability, access, unlimited access at that, to the archive masterclasses, discounts on select Friends in Beauty events and classes, and so much more. And get this, y'all, it's only $25 a month. You heard that right. It's only $25 a month. But you know how Fat Joe said yesterday's price won't be today's price, or, you know, that saying, that's exactly how it's going to be. So you might want to get in while you can. I'll go ahead and leave the link down below, and your fellow Trailblazers are inside waiting for you, and we hope to see you soon. Let's go ahead and get back to the episode. Well, when I saw you again at Art All Night, I had no idea that you were behind Cape Town DMV. Love for you to share with us, you know, what Cape Town is and how that all got started.
All right. So if we go all the way back, Bennett Career Institute is what kind of built that hunger for Cape Town, if you want to be completely honest. So what the people don't know about me, which could have been a fun fact, but, you know, I'm a two-time felon. I did 8 years in the penitentiary, and barbering was my out, like 100%. So came home on a Friday, Tuesday, I went to Bennett. The next Tuesday, I was enrolled in school. And one of the things that Bennett used to do a lot was community service. So they have all these community service events. You can go and get your hours. You can get some hands-on practical. And so from that, it shaped my passion to want to do more hair and to give back to the community through my gift that God gave me. Because I do value my hands and my barbering understanding as a gift from God. I also had like an auto club, which is, I still have it, but we're just inactive. But when we used to have our events, we have back to school events and things like that. I would get barbers together and hairstylists together, and we would do these free cuts and free hairstyles for the kids. And then, I cut a lot of people hair and government, but there was this event at the Black Lives Matter event, and we cut hair on Black Lives Matter. I had some barbers come out, and then I was like, I need to plan a community event where we're just doing hair. And I had got this sponsor for like they would donate like 1,000+ toys. It was Friends of Douglas and Isha Foster Lee, who's also responsible for me being in DC government. She donated toys. I hosted this big community event with Kenya Metters. She got the stylists for me, and I got the barbers. We had about 5 barbers and like 6 or 7 stylists, and we had a December to Remember, which is coming up again. So from that, they were doing these late night hypes at DPR, and this event was like something that they were doing for the kids from 6. When they first started, it was from 6 p.m. to 6 a.m. in the morning. So for all night, these kids were at the rec centers to keep them off of the streets. So I went to leadership like, hey, I think, I could bring value to this if I brought some barbers and stylists into the space. And, that's what we did. And, we kept doing it and kept doing it and kept doing it and kept doing it. And thus, Cape Town was kind of like refined. Well, it was like official. We made it like official instead of just these one-offs. We was like, hey, this is a need that the community really needs. This is something that really makes a difference, and this really builds confidence in the kids. So Cape Town was created, and then we just go off of the one principle that the person in the chair never pays. So whoever is under that cape, they don't pay a dollar. We're not asking you for a tip. We're not asking you for doing nothing but sitting down in the chair. If you're getting your hair done, shampoo and blow dry your hair, please, and sit down and, get your hair styled.
I
So that's
love
kind of
that.
how it was conducted.
I love that. I love, and I feel like when I talk to a lot of people, it seems like it's always like I call it a snowball effect, where it's just you start off with one thing and then it just starts to build on top. Like, not to say that you didn't see the big vision, but it seemed like you started with something first, like an idea, and then it expanded to something way better and just more impactful. And I like that.
And it's just about like you do something on accident. I ain't gonna say on accident, you have an accidental effect on the consumers or the customers or the community. And then you like, okay, I did this just by like trying to do something good. What if I actually put some brain power to how this is concepted, and then how it's implemented? I could affect more, I can change more if I, really take a focus on trying to do that. And no, that's what happens.
What would you say to people? I come across a lot of people who have ideas, who want to start things, but they kind of talk themselves out of it before they even start. Like, oh, what if the community doesn't like this? Or what if nobody shows up? Or what ifs? Like, what would you say to people who have an idea or who have a passion for wanting to do anything, whether it's helping the community or just, I don't know. What would you say to them just to get started?
Data. Recording data. Like if you record data and you take this mindset that, hey, as long as I could progressively do more than the last time, whether it's two, whether it's three people, then it's five people, then it's 10 people, or whether it's five people and then the next time it's five people, but you only had two vendors, now you got four vendors. That's in, like, you, long as you're monitoring the data, the numbers don't lie. And you're, in like a Nipsey hustle type of mind frame of like a marathon and not a race. Like what are you rushing for? Like, who are you rushing for?
I say
Like
that all the
that's,
time.
yeah. Like, and when you actually sit back and think about it, like, dang, what am I rushing for? It's not really even that, So that is, would be the thing that I say could help you get over failing, because you wouldn't fail that way. You would just really pay attention to the data. Like, data would tell you what you're missing. Data is telling you what you need to add. And goals. Like, most people start off with goals starting today. What I got to do tomorrow, then I got to do in 2 weeks, then I got to do in a month, and then I got to do in a year. If you do it the opposite way around and put dollar signs beside it, you'll get to your goals way faster. So money usually help you get to your goals faster, usually. So if you could put a legitimate price on it and you start from the top, then you'll be able to reach your goals. I can use the house, for example. People may say all the time, I want a house. I want to get a house. I want to get a house. And then, all right, first I'm gonna save me some money. Then I'm gonna get my credit together where I'm saving my money, and then I'm gonna go read a real estate a realtor, and then get a broker, and then start house shopping. And then it's like, all right, those are the small steps up. Start from the big step. The big step is, how much does that house cost? The house costs 500,000. Okay, boom. What would it take for you to get a $500,000 loan? Okay. You have to have a credit score of 660 and, income of blah, 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 blah. All right. What do I need to do to, I need now I need a credit repair. I need a job. I need to make about $10,000 more a year annually to go ahead and get into this space so I can get into these programs. All right, boom. Let me step back. When does my lease end? What is it gonna cost me to break that? Just a whole bunch of little things that you just start breaking on down to get you to that goal, instead of just saying, all right, I'm gonna do it. Because now, once you know how much the house costs and you know what it's gonna take you to get a loan, you can work towards that, and then you can see what market is for you, what areas of the city you can live in. Now, when you're driving through there, you're looking like, oh, I can live here. That's in my projected goal right there, and it'd be a little closer.
I love that. I love breaking down goals, reverse engineering, but also to your point of what's the rush? I always tell people that all the time, because I'm like, if we do intend to, like, most of us intend to live a long time. Like, a lot of us would like to live to be, old people. So it's like, if you really do intend to live a long time, then what are you trying to rush the process for? Like, break it down, like you said, take it step by step. And also, I tell people to be open to it being, be open to how it's going to unfold. Because I think a lot of times people do break down their goals and they have their plan, and they're like, no, it has to happen like exactly like this. But be open to a curveball being thrown that might, push you in a better direction as well. Well, not you seen with Cape Town. I know you bring on a lot of people. You collaborate with different independent, freelancers or businesses. Is there anything in particular that you're looking for as far as the type of people that you want to collaborate with to bring on board with your program?
You guys, friends, like, so you friends and
Me.
beauty, friends and beauty. So well, first and foremost, like, we are looking to partner with like other beauty organizations, schools. Like, we would love to partner with schools and create some type of process for students to, while getting their hours and their hands-on experience, to still also make an impact in the community. And Cape Town actually do donations to our members. So you may go out there and donate 4 or 5 hours and do like $500 worth of services. Of course, like, we can't pay you for your services each time, but we can, anywhere from $50 to $150, get $175 gift cards depending on the size of the event. We try to do that for students. We try to do that for the members. And so, and let me go back and so my name is Dom Shay Devon, so I'm gonna start back over. And I'm the founder of Cape Town, but my co-founder name is Felicia Webb. So she so Felicia has been with Cape Town since the first December to Remember event, and I just like digged her, like, her work ethic, her processes, and how she's able to sit down and just really like categorize things. And I was like, hey, you know, let's make this official, you know. And she, you know, been with me, you know, like she, I will say this, your organization is, if you plan on scaling, is dependent on the people that you build it with.
Okay.
100%. You can do anything you can do yourself, which is limited to the amount of time you have, you know what I'm saying, and the amount of resources you have. But the moment you scale to other people, then that quantifies.
Mm-hmm.
So Felicia is one of those people that help Cape Town quantify and scale. And so I got to shout her out. I'm sorry I didn't do that from the, not that she does that. She means the world to me. And I tell
her
that all
the time. So what does she do? Like, what does Felicia do?
Felicia is a braider. She's a braider, and she's also a teacher for DCPS.
Nothing.
So, but she's a braider, and she has another organization called YBFE, Young Black Female Entrepreneurs. So
okay.
She's into like helping businesses build and scale. She works, she target young women. And so, yeah, that's, she's a great person to know. I would love to connect you to too.
Yeah, she sounds great. A braider. I like that. That's different. How did, like, okay, so I feel like I be having the hardest time collaborating with people. It's a lot of people who want to collaborate with me. We'll start the process and then nothing ever comes of it. Like, nothing ever happens. Like, do you have any tips on collaboration and just, I don't know, maybe it's me, maybe it's them, I have no idea, but it just, whatever the idea is, it just never comes to fruition.
I would say collaborators, sometimes we meet organizers, organizations, business owners, and because of what we see, we assume that they're a great communicator. They are a great organizer. They are a great person with people because we are, and that's how we got to where we are.
Mm-hmm.
And because they're on like such either a higher scale, the same scale, or maybe a little lower, we assume that they possess those qualities. So we communicate with them on our wavelength.
Gotcha.
And sometimes you just got to meet them where they're at. You got to hear them out. Maybe it's not through email that they communicate. Maybe they are a text person. And you might, if you really value that connection, maybe you need to break down to doing text and then helping them understand the importance of. So maybe sometimes you got to build with them because there's a missing piece that they have. We all got missing pieces, and it's like trying to channel that and being that crutch for them in that area until they can fill it, and then pulling them in for their strengths, I would say. And also, when collaborating, allowing people to be creatively themselves, allowing them to do, like sometimes, I say even me, in the past mostly, but I've grown to get out of that. When you collaborate with someone, especially like when you have this great and grand idea and you collaborate with someone who's equally strong-minded, sometimes it gets like this on who's
like
in control.
Like a power struggle?
Yeah, who's in control, who's the creator, who's the most creative, who has the biggest voice. And sometimes you just got to step back and say, you know, I'm going to stand behind my brand. I'm going to stand behind my business and allow this person to come into this space and fill it up. Because that's what you ultimately want. You really want that, but you want them to come in and bring in what they're passionate about. And sometimes when their passion meets your passion, although it's in a different way, you feel like they're on your, you know, I think. So I think those are what happens with collaborations. Either we're not communicating the right way, or there's like, for lack of better words, a power struggle or a passion struggle.
Yeah, got you. I want to know too about the nonprofit. I guess the nonprofit structure. I guess, like, how long did it take for you to file the paperwork, get it up and running?
So the year before last, no, not that, the year before last, I incorporated as a LLC.
Okay.
And I was like, this LLC is not really allowing Cape Town to move the way it needs to move. And then I organized as a nonprofit last year and I rebranded, new logo, new everything. And then, the wheel started rolling. We had all the back end work. Like, we had everything we needed except for we wasn't like a 501c3. So we wasn't tax exempt, which is the one of the final processes that you need in place. But we had everything in place. We had the numbers. We had our paperwork together. We had everything we need to do it. We just had not filed it. And then this year in the summer, we filed. It took about 90 days to 90 days to get here back, maybe. I have an amazing person. Her name is Astra. So through Cape Town, if you even, and like this is a part of standing behind the brand though. If you email Cape Towns, it's like admin@capetowndmv.org. Astra's name is gonna pop up, but she is my registered agent. So any paperwork come in, it goes to her. She's also the person that if we need or we're trying to do something and we don't know how to do it, she get the information for us. So that's what we did with the. We was like, hey, we're trying to go after this 501c3 status. She sent me like this 60-page document, and I just had to go through it, read it, plug in the information. It was like a template, but I had to read it, plug in information, take in, I mean, add stuff that, like, it was a lot of things that was like, oh yeah, we need to add this, or this don't apply to us. Oh, let me make sure I put this in there. So when we submitted our paperwork, like, we got approved on the first try. And yes,
Is it a
so
hard process, you would say, or is it a lot of stuff that's required?
well, if you incorporate the right way, it won't be hard. 'Cause most like if so two things. If you're already working in your business, then you have the metrics. Remember, the numbers, the data is what is important. You have that. And then if you incorporate the right way, then you have all of the language that you need to file. They're gonna ask you questions that you should already have the answers to stored. Like, it should be copy and paste when you're filing your paperwork. So I would say the biggest things is who you organizing with, your board members, your dissolution clause, just in case like everything breaks down. Like, what are you going to do if you dissolve your business? Your bylaws, like how you operate and how you doing your meetings, what happens if a member don't do this, or if what happens if y'all want to do this. Having your vision, your goal, and there's one more thing. Your vision, goal, we got like a little a mantra, like,
What's the mantra?
it's change it.
He don't even know his mantra, y'all. Look, that
I know, man.
that put you on the spot.
Yes, because we recently changed it. I just revamped the Cape Town, but it's changing the community one cape at a time. So changing the community one cape at a time. I don't know if that's considered a mantra or a slogan. But just having little things like that in place written down would be the thing you need to just file. You don't have to pull from a lot. It just takes you sitting down, organizing all your files, and filing the paperwork. That's all it takes, so.
So what was the
But
difference between like what you wanted to do? What were the things that you were constrained or like constrained from doing with an LLC versus a nonprofit?
well, all right, optically, right? LLCs just, and this is just me, LLCs versus nonprofits are a little more selfish. Because, I mean, the moment you create a nonprofit, like, you no longer have ownership of it for real, for real. Like, of course, you're the founder, you're the controlling of it, but, like, you can, if you're on the executive board, I mean, if you're on the board, you can get voted off. And if you're in the company, you can get fired. So you really, it's really about giving your vision to multiple people and allowing it to grow.
Okay.
So I think when you're going after like grants and funding and things like that, it's easier to pull from a nonprofit than the LLC.
Okay. Gotcha.
So that's the biggest thing. And the grants that I wanted to go after, I think like just that. And it could have just been me. That's just how I look at things, you know. But, you know, your energy putting into your business is what is displayed on the other side. So I don't want to be selfish. I don't want to be perceived that, because I just say I've worked with some LLCs in the community. And when I work with LLCs, they're coming to get paid, you know.
Right.
And the true nonprofits are coming to give.
Hey, I know you're enjoying the episode, but I need you to do something really, really important for me, like right now. I need you to leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts and let the people know how much you love the Friends of Beauty podcast. See, in the podcast streets, I'm gonna let you know something. If you don't leave a review, then people don't know that the show exists, and then the show won't grow. Reviews are so essential to the continued success of the Friends of Beauty podcast, and plus, I really just want to know what you think about the podcast. I appreciate all the DMs, but a 5-star review would be even better. I would love to read your review on the show and give you a shout out for being a loyal listener. And if it's not a 5-star review, don't even worry about it. All right, don't even worry. Just go ahead and send me an email, honey. We ain't got time for that. If you're watching me on YouTube, don't forget to subscribe, give this video a thumbs up, and even leave a comment to share a takeaway from something that you've learned so far. If you don't subscribe or give a thumbs up, then the YouTube streets don't know that the Friends of Beauty podcast exists either. You see how this is going? This is a group effort, and I appreciate you so, so much. Okay, I'm done. I'm done. Let's go ahead and get back into the episode.
You think I should have a nonprofit?
I think you should have both.
I don't know what I would do with it, though. I would have to think about
beauty. So Friends and Beauty, you want to have like a mastermind real quick? Like,
okay, let's do it. Ooh, like, a mastermind.
So like, cause like Friends and Beauty, like when I think of Friends and Beauty, I think of like what I seen the other day when I met you again. I met you again, when we ran into each other again. It's like the way you were able to pull the hairstylist and the makeup artist together to complete a project is what Cape Town does with barbers, stylists, nail technicians, and makeup artists.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like network marketing. You allow the people that you work with to work under a brand to get the most exposure for what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And you already have a brand and an audience in the beauty space. Why not allow yourself to be able to do more in the community of beauty through your nonprofit? You know, without chasing a dollar, you could chase grants, which will help you help your community, whether it's in the literal community or whether it's in the beauty community. That's just how I view nonprofits, because it's not for you.
Yeah.
It's for the people that you're working with. That's just how I view nonprofits. So you're already in a space, you're already highlighting people like myself, and like the people that were there that day. And, you know, why not nonprofit and get exemptions for what you're doing already?
I'm gonna have to look into it, because I do have some other ideas for, you know, things that I want to do under Friends and Beauty, but I feel like the nonprofit way would probably go, it would be better to go the nonprofit way for what I want to do, because I'm always thinking about where am I gonna get this money from, you know, because I'm just like, you know, the things that I want to do is going to take some coins. So I know people can, you know, donate and things like that, but I feel like a nonprofit way with grants and things like that would definitely be the way to go as far as funding for the things that I want to do.
For sure. And it's just like, Kate, so with me, I think it's more about what you're naturally inclined to do anyway, like what you're naturally passionate about. Figure out a way to be figure out a way to be like on purpose, like figure out a way to do it on purpose. Like you're doing it just because you're naturally good at it. Like you're naturally passionate about it. Like you're naturally like connecting with people. You naturally like talking to people. You like naturally like bringing people in. Well, figure out how you can market that.
Mm-hmm.
And then not only are you networking and you're passionate about connecting with people, but you're also bringing them something. You know, mm-hmm. And that's what really builds your and keeps your connections going. Like, what do you, all right, what if, like, I was like, hey, you know, we just got this grant that allows us to do XYZ and we need some exposure. I see you networking with me. Like, how about we pay you XYZ? Like, we're already connected naturally. Like, mm-hmm. just off of natural what we're doing. But what if I was able to come to the table with some funding to help you do some things, which would then help you build your business and scale your LLC?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So mm-hmm. that's just how I view it.
I feel like people, when they think about nonprofit, they think that you can't make money, you know, from a nonprofit.
You can. So as a nonprofit, I can buy real estate. With a nonprofit, I could charge people. The only difference is I cannot use the grant money and the money that I'm making for personal gain outside of the beauty world. Now, granted, I could pay myself
mm-hmm.
for my services, right? But I can't pocket all the extra. The extra goes back into the account.
Right.
If I get real estate, I can't go buy a house to live in, but I can buy a salon suite for all the stylists. That's still real estate.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like you could, and so you're still marketing, you're still increasing the value of the business. But the thing about it is, if you look at it as not what can I do for myself, but what can the business do for me, and what can I do for the business, then you get a whole lot further. Because like the bigger friends in business, the bigger friends in beauty get, the bigger those people associated with and get, and the exposure that they get behind it. And you just looking for to grab the hem of that coat, you know, mm-hmm. for whatever the organization is, you just trying to grab the hem of that and, you know, get saved by that. That's it.
Okay.
So
look, my wheels are turning now. I'm gonna have to do my research and figure out, you know, exactly what I want to do. How'd you go about choosing your board members? Or is it board members or board of directors, you said?
So board members, but board of directors, board, you got different terminology that you can use. But I went based off of, like, the people that, you know, granted, the members you start with won't be the members that you end with.
Mm-hmm.
Mostly when you first start, you need a select amount of, give me one second. I went by the people that started with me that has shown like that they're passionate about this work and they want to see the organization grow and strive and that they were willing to do or be into whatever position that was needed
mm-hmm.
to help us get to a point where, one, we can either hire people, or two, people can actually get into their professional places. So it's just about drive initially. Who can be a good bookkeeper? Who could be the event planner? Who can, you know, or treasurer? Who can be a vice president? Who can stick in for me when I'm not there? You know, mm-hmm. who can be, you know, those things are the thing. Like, it's all about, instead of, I guess when you first start, and it's less about finding strengths and it's more about finding the weaknesses of an organization for someone to come in and fill.
Gotcha. So, okay. Yeah. My wheels are definitely turning. I'm like, I'm over here thinking about people I know. Like, who would I want to be on the team? I got some good people around me, though.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Remember, though, sometimes when you change the dynamic of the relationship, the connection changes sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if I use, like, relationships, like, sometimes people could be good friends with someone. Y'all have good time. Y'all have good energy. Y'all do y'all thing. And then the moment y'all, there's no expectations there right now, though. So,
right.
Like, it's all cool because I don't expect nothing from you. Like, when we're together, we have a good time. And I ain't expecting you to fix any of my problems when you're not. But the moment you put expectations on people, sometimes it changes.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
So the good people could be good people while they are in their current position. But adding that extra layer, you could lose a good friend, a good mentor, you know, a good family member.
Yeah, I guess it's the rules of engagement.
Mm-hmm.
Just never know. It was something else I was going to ask you. So how long is the barbering program at Bennett?
So it depends. You can do the year. You go full time as a year, and then part time is like 18 months.
Uh-huh.
Part time morning is 18 months, and then part time nighttime is like, I think, 21 months or something like that, 22 months.
Got you.
And then, like, I think when I first started, it was like 15 or 16. By the time I finished, it was like 17,000. And it's probably like 19 or 20,000 now.
Jeez. And I've been, that's crazy. I've attended a couple of events recently with, I don't know if you're familiar with the Cut app.
Yes.
So I've attended a couple of his events, and he was just on the podcast. His episode is actually coming out this week.
Name like Obi?
Yeah, Obi.
Yeah. I got a funny story about Obi, man.
What? You going to tell us or is it a
secret?
Yes,
I'm going to tell you. Like, I'm going to tell you. So, and it's still like a little passion of mine, but I wanted to create my own app, right?
Uh-huh.
Dealing around barbering. And I started talking to some app developers, and I feel like that space is like relatively small when it concerns our people.
Mm-hmm.
So if you talk to a black person about an app, and I'm not saying this is just my processing of it. So if you talk to a black person, like the networking, the whole network know. So I was talking to people. I had like some requirements written up. I had like my NDA written up. I was talking, I was building. And then I get a booking from the owner of the Cut. I cut on the Cut.
Okay.
So I get a booking on the Cut app. And when I get there, I don't know he's the owner of the Cut app or anything. I don't know who he is. I just think he's a regular client, LVA.
Yeah.
So I go to cut his hair. And start asking me questions about, like, you know, my experience as a traveling barber, this. And I started to go into it. So as I'm breaking down my stuff, you know, he's noticing, like, the things I'm using. Like, oh, you got your own chair. Oh, you use light. Oh, da, da, da. And then I'm just like, yeah. So I'm noticing the room. I look down, I see some slippers, and they got, like, the Cut app logo on there. And I'm like, those Cut slippers? Like, you work for the Cut app?
Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I'm one of the founders of the Cut app. And I'm just like,
that's dope.
But I ain't carry it like that. I said, huh? Why didn't you say anything? Cause right now, like I feel like him as like I would like to work with you, but if we're not working together, you're a competitor. So I broke down. I ain't cut his hair. I denied his service, and
You denied the service
I denied his service.
because you were kind of talking about like the same kind of business.
Yeah, I was like, for what I do, there is no app for me.
Got
Targeted for
you.
me. So I was trying to build out, and then I just found it coincidental that the owner reaches out to me and then start asking me about how
He's probably collecting data for himself.
is that's how I felt. You know what I mean? And I could be wrong, but if you was the owner of the Cut app and I'm the only I'm the best traveling, but I am the best traveling barber on the platform, 100% hands, because it's the only thing I do. And I cut I got high clientele base, like very high clientele base. So I'm super serious. I'm super professional about what I do. So why not start the conversation off with, hey, my name is such and such and such. I am da 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 da. Because then I'd have been more like, okay, well, before I talk to you about this, let me, break some things down so we can get an understanding, because I wouldn't want my ideas to be, taken and
A bit of
using.
good collaboration. They could have
It would
cut
have
that
been
man's hair real
a
good. He
great
would have been like, I'm gonna
collaboration.
help you with that.
I text them, I emailed them or something later, and never got a response. And I still think I got a value too. It's a mil like I've been even like contemplating going to StyleSeek, because there's a million things. Like I got a friend that when he travels out, he drives trucks, but whatever state he's in and he wants a haircut, he'll let me know the state. I go on StyleSeek, I create an account, and then I find the barber for him, because I got the eye to look to see, like, all right, he just using a whole bunch of products or enhancements. He can't really cut his
Got
line
you.
crooked, so I line him up with a good barber. But through that process, like I know one day he asked me to change the appointment. Like the rescheduling option is just like next to none. But there's things on the app that I felt like if a true person that was really looking to scale their business for a different type of barber, they could really, get to that next level. But he didn't want to do that. So I'm not gonna be like salty about it, but that's actually the story that happened. Like I can't lie about it. Like that's what happened.
You should. I'm a reconnect y'all, cause he can help you. I was even when I talked to him, when I did his interview, I was telling him, cause he was just breaking down, how he even got to the point of wanting to do an app. Cause he's not even a barber. He's not a barber or anything. He's just a regular client that has a tech background. So I was like, oh, that would be a good idea for locks, like to do an app like that for locks. And I was like, maybe we need to, you could help me out.
Like, man, listen, the concept that I like, even if I told someone half of it, the concept that I have for it is like crazy. Like guarantee, like especially for a app that has like users and it has like promotion. So they got users, they got client, they got barbers. Like, it go
He
to
said,
the next level, man. It go to the next level, man. I promise you, I ain't even. But anyway, like if you can make that connection, I appreciate it. I still talk with him, and I think it's worth him knowing why I felt the way I felt. Like it wasn't just a biased thing, but that space is real small. The space is very small, so.
Yeah, I was gonna tell you, I went to a couple of his events. I know he has some kind of scholarship program now for barbers because of
Oh
the
yeah.
cost of what it the cost of
Yeah.
barbering school, and then also some recent changes were made as far as like the Board of Education, where it may possibly take away funding for people who want to go to cosmetology school and barbering school. So it was like as expensive as it is, the people who want to attend these schools, they don't necessarily have the money to pay out of pocket
Right.
to attend these schools. So his events have kind of just been shedding light on that, and now he has like a scholarship program under the cut to provide like a scholarship for people to attend school or to help with the funding, because I had no idea it cost that much.
Yes, it's not for, so when your barber get his license and his price go up, He's saying, "Hey, I paid for this. I went to school for this. I gave time and money towards this. My price goes up. It's not for free." You know, so I mean, I guess there's some type of programs, but that even takes some time, energy. So barbering is not cheap, man.
So what is the state board for? So you finish barbering school. Is that something that you have to do to get licensed, like the state
Yes.
board?
So you go to barbering school, you in DC, you have to complete like 1500 hours. Like in other some states it's like 1200. So they consider us like barber stylists because we actually learn how to do like hair, like curls, and I maybe hold on. We learn how to do nine part sections, and we learn how to do curl wet sets, and yeah, a lot of things. So like even doing our practical, they'll call the barbers over to the
The cosmetology
cosmetology
side.
sides to do some of the older women hair because they're getting wet sets, you know. So we get 1500 hours. Once you get your 1500 hours, you take your test in school, you get your certificate. With your certificate and 1500 hours, it allows you to go to take the state board test.
Got you. Okay. All right. Well, I'm glad I did makeup. Shoot, I'm about to be taking all them tests and all that stuff. Shoot. I'm glad I did makeup. Dang. So I want to circle back because one thing that you did mention earlier, you brought up the fact that you were two times incarcerated. And I think when I saw you the last time, you was like, I had met you like right after, like you had just came home for the last time, the final time.
Yes,
So
I
what is
literally.
it? What are those decisions that you made that landed you in prison?
So like just I was just a bad little kid, man. Like just up to no good. I had some guidance, but I wasn't taking it serious. And just like I was a little, I don't know what to call it. But I got into a shootout with like the first time I got into like a shootout with some people from Richmond. And then
Where
the
are you
second
from?
time, I'm from Newport News, Virginia.
Okay.
And the second time I got caught, I got pulled over and had a firearm in the car. And then that gave me a mandatory 5 years. So in total, I did 8 years and a few months.
Got you.
But yeah, so just being in the streets, no guidance, no real, no outlets for real, for real. Like Newport News, there's nothing there. So yeah, that's kind of what got me in there. And a whole month of like ju I did I've been to juvenile detention like four or five times. I was in a group home before, when I got arrested. They tried me as an adult. I was 17. So I went to juvenile detention. I turned 18. They put me in the jail. So just a history of like bad, man.
What changed though? What was it? What was the did something happen that was like a pivotal moment for you to change?
There's a few things that I can tie to it. So one of the things I had realized was that, so when you're doing time with your brothers, I call them your brothers, you have war stories, you talk about the highs and lows of life, like you talk about your life. That's all you got to do is talk about your past. And it's always good when we talk about war stories, because I got a lot of war stories. But when people was talking about how they was living, where they was traveling, I realized I had no substance to my stories. And I wanted to experience, I had no experience to life. So I wanted to change that. That was one thing. Two, I was in the game. I was a blood. Some people may say, how you get out of the blood? I don't know. I said I'm done. But my it ain't like I was just like, oh, I'm done. F y'all, it was more like, yo, we say we're about the upliftment and the betterment of brothers. Well, I'm trying to do better when I get out here. And what I'm doing now, I foreseen myself giving back to the community and pulling these youngins together. But in my mind, I was like, I don't care how good of a person is. Ain't no parent gonna see a blood and say, "Oh, I'm gonna let my son go with them with the Bloods today," you know, because she's gonna be afraid that you're gonna try to turn them to a Blood, or two, that opposing gang will come and shoot y'all up or jump y'all or something like that. Nobody's gonna want to put their kid in there. Secondly, I can't go to no place and say, "Oh, they're gonna be like, oh, because you're a Blood, I'm gonna give you a job." But it'd be way more places to say, because you're a Blood, you won't get a job, you know. And so, there was a scenario that happened while I was in the penitentiary where, you know, I had like 18 months left, and one of the brothers, one of the Blood brothers, they did something that, like, kind of forced my hand, or would force my hand, although I'm about to go home. And I was just like, yo, these guys really don't care about positivity and change and, you know, the future. So, like, why am I putting myself on the line for these guys when they're not willing to put their self on the line for me? Yeah, like, you would fight with me. Yeah, you would do all this, but when I really want to make a change, is you going to ride with me that way? You know? And so, and then the third and final thing, funny enough, is the Bible, Christianity. I'm not a Christian now. I'm not saying, like, but it does have life-changing capabilities, like mindset changing. And I had like a few questions in that Bible that, you know, I really went saw answers for, which I received some of the answers I received like a year ago, and some of the answers I received while I was in there. And then the fear of not being able to come home and have a child, man. You know, I feared that I would die before being able to see what I could create, the true creation. You know what I'm saying? So those things, man, I just ain't want to go back in there.
You had the willingness, you wanted to change.
I wanted to change, and and then another good thing is I didn't go back into my, like, the first time I wanted to change, but I put myself right smack dead in the middle of what was comfortable to me, my friends, my neighborhood, my surroundings. And in order to change, you got to change just about all things. So this time I came to Washington, D.C. And, you know, I had no reputation to uphold. I had no stereotypes. I even like started going by like my middle name just to come into a new me. So my email address used to be the new Devon Smith. And when I applied for my job, that's the email I use. And like, yeah, so it took a whole mindset change, a surroundings change, and a circle change, like, completely. And it worked out for me for the best.
That's great. Like when you came home, the final time, did you have a hard time readjusting to everything that was out here? Readjusting and then also finding employment with your record.
I did have, well, I don't know that I had trouble with readjusting, but there's one reason why. Because everything was so much different, I was readjusting to everything. Like, it's one thing to go back into your normal surroundings and then see that everything is different than how it was before. So you're expecting things to be the same, so it'll be hard for you to adjust. But when you go into a whole completely new arena, it's like, I expect this to be different. I expect that to be different. I expect me not to know this. I expect me not to know that. So it was a little easier for me in that space, but employment was hard. I got denied a few times and I got discouraged a few times, but how I got my employment was volunteering. So I volunteered for like months before getting like a contract, and like I was a contractor for like 3 or 4 months, and then I finally got employment. So volunteerism was my way to.
This is interesting because I have a brother. I'm just thinking about all the people. I mean, I'm pretty sure somebody that's listening to this knows somebody that's incarcerated or has been incarcerated before. And I have a brother that was incarcerated for like 13 years. And when
Oh, wow.
he came home in 2020. And I don't know. I don't feel like he readjusted that well. I mean, he's trying, but it hasn't been that easy because then he got diagnosed with cancer. So going through health challenges when he wanted to, get back out into the world and do things, it's like God was like, no, you still gotta sit down, sir. So, and I also know somebody else whose brother is incarcerated right now, but I keep on urging him, like I'm looking for programs for his brother to get into because I like what you said, you come back out and you go back into the same environment, you're just gonna fall back into like old habits of what's comfortable. So it's like you have to change your environment. You got to be willing to want to change and change your mindset and just remove yourself from the noise and.
The norms and the noise. Like, is this person in DC? A resident DC?
Well, Maryland, technically.
So, DC don't do nothing for Maryland people. You gotta be a resident, which a taxpayer would say, that's the way it should be. We paying taxes for us, not them. Y'all come and take all our parking spaces. No. But I mean, if he was, a DC resident, it'd be like it's so many programs here for returning citizens. Like it's crazy. Like some people even believe that there's more opportunity for returning citizens than it. Like it's almost like they feel like you got to go through something to get something.
But I also feel like it should be that way too, because it's like if people are really going to prison to be reformed, or you're expecting some people to come out, and then when they come out, it's nothing for them. It's like what is? I feel like it should be that way, because first of all, not everybody that's in prison committed the crime. That's number one. Number two, it's like you have to believe that people can change. Like some people want to change, and people can change. So it's like why not support them, with that. I feel like it should be resources.
No, for real. I 100% agree. And then it's just all about like, it's like, so at DPR, I'm the citywide coordinator for Young Men Future Leaders. So we had about 14 sites and we got 150 plus kids enrolled in our young men that are in the programs. And one of the things that I tell the facilitators is like, don't be discouraged by you consistently pouring and pouring and pouring into this youth, and then they go do what they want to do because you're the same way. You're going to do what you want to do when you want to do it, especially when you get the opportunity to do it. But it's about when you decide that you want to make that change, you have all of the information that you need to make the change because just reaching one could change the life of a thousand. And I feel that way about myself. Like, me alone, like, I've been able to change hundreds of families' lives through the organizations that I've been able to run, manage, and my job. Like I've been able to really shape and change some things, some beliefs in some of these kids, some beliefs in some of these families, you know what I mean? And I inspire hundreds of incarcerated guys. One called me, the first call I got was from one of my brothers, his name's Cedric. And he have programs and he used me as his example. Like, and I always say, like, if I fail, then I fail not just for me, but for my brothers, because they want to come home and they want to know that they can. The craziest thing is you can come home expecting and wanting to do right, but if you expect that people think you're going to do wrong, it could tie you down. So I don't know. So it's just about reaching that one. All we got, we can be responsible for one. And I got one, my little son. That is my,
How
that's
old
why
is
I'm not,
he?
he's five.
Oh, wow.
And that's why I'm not in a rush because I know I got 5% on my laptop. So if it do call, I can call back in on my phone. But that's another reason why I'm not in a rush because, I think for parenting, the moment you realize that you have a child, it's not about you getting ahead, but it's giving you a whole 20 some years to put that into someone else, you get more time, you get more resources. And it's just about understanding, like, you ever say, if I knew what I knew now, then, oh, well, that's where I'm at with my son. Like the other day, I was trying to figure out, like, I haven't figured it out yet, but how to help him understand that this is like that. Meaning, I was telling him, if you don't listen, you won't be able to get the rewards that people want to give you. And his example was, he wanted ice cream, but he wasn't listening. So Saturday, he didn't get his ice cream. And I was trying to help him under, how could I help him understand that this is an example of how the world would treat you? I haven't figured it out yet, but trying to help people understand what you know, like I said, is the hardest part. And like, when we was talking about dealing with collaborators. So it was like, my favorite saying is, and you could base it off of chess, if concept is king, then delivery is queen. And if you think about chess, the concept, the king, he got this one move he can do there, one move he can do there, and there, right? But he got the concept. The concept is him. Uh-huh. You know, him being the last person. But the queen, so how he delivers that plan tonight, you doing that L, like, can't nobody stop him from getting to his spot. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So that concept is nothing if you don't deliver it right. And, you know, so that's what I'm working on with my son. That's what I'm working on with the youngins. That's what I'm working on with these returning citizens. Like, changing your mindset and helping you understand what I know is my number one goal.
That is great. And this, and just the way that you described getting time back, like with your son, like being able to pour into him the things that you know now, that is the best explanation I've ever heard for having a child, because I am not a part of that crew at all. I'm like anti, like,
You anti children?
For myself. But that's the best. But because of the way you explained it just now, I'm like, I like that idea. I could, like, because of that, the way you explained it, I'm like, I could see myself having at least like one for that reason.
Right. And think about it. You want what you want. You want what you have, what you've done to survive. If you want to make a change, it has to be a continuous chip at the world. If you don't take that down to nobody that at least have to possess the same qualities that you have, then it won't, it may not make it that far, you know? And I'll tell you another thing. There is nothing in this world more important than having a child. If you have the ability to, all right, I'll give you an example. Aquia, damn, I'm sorry.
I know why you're saying it like this, because of your friend, but.
So imagine
Aquia.
I'm about to say that the first time. Imagine, Aquia, you were as successful as you ever thought you could be, right? And then you ran into a situation that had you on your deathbed. And your kids disowned you. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't care, man. You won't care. All the queer was caring about was is doing this and doing that for her business. She won't worry about me when I was growing up. And then you just, like, although it's a million people there, the one that matter most is not there. Mm-hmm. And you got all this money, all these resources. But then if you flip the other side, imagine you had nothing and you was on your deathbed and then your kids was there around you holding your hand. You would feel like it's going to be okay. Like, man, I did right. My kids are here. Like, they're going to, you know, carry it on further. And then we're on this earth. We're born, right? We procreate, and then we die, right? And then if any of those three things cease to happen, life stops. If people stop being born, we'll just die off. Mm-hmm. If people stop dying, we will consume the earth, global warming, we'll just die off. And I ain't no expert in science, so I don't know if that would happen. But, and then if we stop procreating, then we'll all be born. I know we wouldn't be born no more, and we'll just all die off. So that is quite essential to life. You know, we are gods and goddesses. We have a obligation to this world. And not fulfilling that obligation would have you feeling like you don't know your purpose. And everything you would do, you would still at the end for like, dang, what is my purpose? What is my purpose? You know what I'm saying? And so it's quite essential to life. Everything else is for perception. But those three things exist in this world for a reason. And the world, like, I can get deep. I ain't gonna keep going. I can go deeper. I'm ready to go all the way with it. But like, nothing is valuable without us. Anything you see, this cup of coffee cost me $6 or $7, right? But it's the only way to make it valuable if I feel like it's valuable enough to purchase. Otherwise, it's just a cup of coffee. And, you know, so, you know, that's up for perception. But we know the value of our children. We know the value of the new energy in this world. We know that for a fact. That's why we work so hard around it. And, yeah, that's all I got for you.
me and my 2-year-old cat gonna rock out for as long as she stays.
Be ready. Just, I ain't rushing you. I ain't saying it's easy. And it's not easy. It's not always going to seem like the best thing in the world. But when you reflect back, it will always be the best thing in the world. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Always. So.
Yeah. How much percent you got now?
Yeah, two.
Oh, Lord. So before I let you go, what do you consider, what do you want your legacy to be with doing the work that you're doing with Cape Town?
Oh, jeez. I don't know. I want my legacy to be that I was a great father. And everything that I fell short in, I made a conscious effort to change it for the people that could have possibly fall short too in that same way. Haircuts, I had to sweep hair for hair to get a haircut sometimes, but haircut mean everything. Is the first thing you see in the morning, you know, perception, like how you perceive yourself in the morning determines your character and demeanor throughout the day. So if you look in that mirror and you see just rough, look rough, you're going to feel rough when you go out there into this world. So changing how people get up and they feel about themselves in the morning means a lot, because that was something that I struggled with growing up. Being in these streets, carrying guns, shooting people, drugs, whatever, stealing cars, like all these things were things that I involved myself with. And my goal is to change that narrative for the people behind me. That's just my goal. And my son. To make sure he don't have to go through what I went through. That was the first one. I've been excellent at that.
Good. So. I love the intention behind everything that you're doing. Is there anything that's coming up next for you that you can share?
Yeah, so we on December 17th, we have a December to Remember. It's our third annual December to Remember. It was really what Cape Town was founded on. And we give free haircuts, free hairstyles, nail services. We get food, toys, games for the kids, all types of things. You can think of it'll be at Check It Enterprise. That's 1920 Martin Luther King Jr. Ave. And yeah, come on out. So we'll be partnering with a lot of community organizations as we have before. We usually have like 15 to 20 partners on these events, and everybody bring what they have to give back to the community. So you want a free haircut, you want to meet Santa, get some toys, bring your family out, and, you know, enjoy the festivities.
I love
December
that.
17th from 12 to 4, Check It Enterprise.
I love that. December to Remember. I love it. Okay. Well, before you go, hopefully before your laptop cuts out on us, I want to ask you the Friends of Beauty rapid fire questions. So whatever comes to your mind first, spit it out.
Okay.
So the first one, what are the top three keys to your success so far?
Planning. Energy and drive. Those are the first things.
Okay. How do you measure your success?
Based off the goals I set.
Okay. What's the best advice you've ever received?
Um, It was around child support, though. I mean, but it was because I get my son half of the time I pay child support. But a guy told me, think about all the things and this past child support. But for the things that you have to pay a lot for that you want, just think about all the things that you pay for that you don't want. It'd be okay to pay a lot of money for something you do.
Okay, look. What advice would you give to another barber right now who's just ready to give up and not seeing the results that they want?
Perfect your craft, get around some barbers that's went through the same thing that you went through, and take it a day at a time, a client at a time, and get into some entrepreneurship classes so you can understand how to scale yourself.
Okay. What's a resource that has helped you in your business that you could share with the Friends and Beauty community?
Networking. Is that what you know?
Yep, networking. Yep, end all be all. So the last one, I just want you to fill in the blank and just say, my name is blank, and the key to longevity and success is whatever you think it is personally.
Say it again.
My name is blank. And the key to longevity and success is whatever.
My name is Damashe Devon, and the key to longevity and success is finding something you're good at, mastering it, finding a system for it, and putting it on autopilot.
I love that. I love it. Before you go, please share like social media, whatever you want to share for people to connect with you and stay updated on what you're doing.
So Cape Town is Cape Town underscore DMV on Instagram. My personal page is intellectual underscore real underscore state. And then my barbering page is headliner underscore Damashe, DIMOSHA.
This has been so great. Thank you so much for sharing so openly with us. And I wish you all the best with everything that you're doing. It's amazing. It's going to blow up.
Same here. Thank you for having me. We literally.
Thanks for listening to the Friends in Beauty podcast. Don't forget, sharing is caring. If you enjoyed this episode, share it with another friend in beauty. Give it a thumbs up and subscribe, rate, and leave a 5-star review so that other friends in beauty can find the show. Plus, we'd love to hear your feedback. Connect with us on all social media platforms at Friends in Beauty. Hashtag Friends in Beauty to join the conversation and join our Friends in Beauty Facebook community to stay connected. Talk to you soon.